that God can take old sinners and He can make them new again. Amen. I told folks this morning, I've said it a lot of times, you know, the reason I had to get born again was I didn't come out right the first time. Amen. The psalmist said, I was shapen in iniquity. Amen. I was born, in other words, he said, I was born a sinner. Amen. I was conceived by sinners. I was born a sinner, and I bore the sinner's guilt and the sinner's shame. But praise God, one day on an old rugged cross, He took that sting of sin away. Amen. And when I came to that old rugged cross, He made me again. I got born again. I got birthed into the family of God. Amen. I was made right. Amen. I'm glad He saves all sinners. Amen. I tell you what. The devil shows up sometimes and the devil tries to throw a wrench in things. But we had church this morning anyway. Hey, man. Brother Randy said, ain't we going to have church? And let's go on and have church. I said, we will, brother. We will. We're going to have church. We're going to take care of you. I was with him yesterday. I told y'all I had lunch with him yesterday and we was talking, and I shared this with some this morning, I think. But we was talking at lunch, and Jax's brother, Miss Eileen, told me, she says, you said more in the time that you had in the 2 minutes you had than all the rest of them said all put together. I said, well, I don't know about all that, but I thank you for that. And Jack says, let me tell you something. He said, when I die, he said, I want you to preach my funeral. And he said, I don't want just a talking. He said, I want you to preach a Sunday morning funeral, Sunday morning message at my funeral. Randy said, I want you to preach mine too, just like that. And then he stopped. He said, but you're older than I am. I don't know if you'll make it. I said, well, we can make arrangements, Randy, if it means that much to you. When he fell out this morning and he was coming to, I knelt down there beside him and I said, you ain't going to do it this way. Now wake up. Amen. He said, I heard you. Amen. Pray for Brother Randy. They don't know what's going on yet. It's just something about his blood pressure's dropping real low on the low side, the lower number. It's just dropping way out and way down. And his heart doctor is going to come in and see him tomorrow. They're keeping him overnight. But pray for him. And just I love all of you. And when any of you are sick or in the hospital, or any of you are going through something, it bothers me, and I'm right there with you. Amen. I feel the hurt and the pain that you're going through, and I just my heart goes out to you. But I love you all. Pray for Brother Randy, and just pray for his mom and dad. I tell you what, Jack said it just takes years off of me every time it happens. Yes. Amen. And, you know, they got a great concern. They know they're up in age. And they know, you know, one day soon, Lord Terry's is coming. They're going to be leaving Randy behind with all these health issues that he has. And, you know, this isn't just something that just happened today. This is something that they've been dealing with for a long time. And he's got a multitude of issues that just keep piling up. And they got a heavy burden, but just pray for him. God is good. Amen. God will bring him through. Amen. And I hope I live to be old enough that he has to go before me if he wants me to preach, but we have to do it on canes. Hey, man, you know, we was at the funeral yesterday, and the daughter's, Sister Sandy's daughter's husband's grandfather was there. He'd pastored a church for over 55 years, and he was there, and he was well up in years, and you could tell he was well stricken in age. And he sat there, and he's very feeble. I let him go before me as we was walking, and we had to walk in together. And as he was climbing the platform, I just wanted to make sure he got up to the platform. And he sat down, and he sat next to me, and he would nod off, and he would doze off every now and then. But when it come his time for the service, and that old man got up and spoke, let me tell you what, the power of God was on him. Amen. Out of all the people that spoke yesterday, I felt the power of God on that man more than anybody that was in the place. And when he got down, he sat back down. And he dozed off every now and then. Amen. I thought I was going to have to keep him from falling out of the chair at one point. But you know, the thing of it is, it don't matter how old I get. Amen. God's still able to use me. Amen. But praise God, we're thankful that we can just worship together and have a great time. Turn in your Bibles in Isaiah chapter number 55. Isaiah 55, I told folks this morning, I was just struggling with what to preach this morning. I was struggling with what to preach and what God would have me do. And I had prepared something Wednesday for Wednesday night just in case. Or I really wanted to take it out and share it with the young people, but God said stay in here and be in here tonight. So I stayed in here and was blessed because Brother Ron Brooks took the men's group and he just really blessed my heart and some of the things that he shared with us and how he did it. And he just helped me. Amen. I don't know if it helped anybody else, but it helped me. You know what I mean? I tell y'all a lot of times, sometimes I leave and I think I haven't done anything and people call me up and tell me that, man, that message tonight was just for me. Or, you know, they text me, that message just really touched home. You know, last Sunday I told you, I don't know if y'all got it. I just felt like I didn't do justice to the message. And when I left, I was discouraged. And a young lady got saved this week because of that message. Eddie was walking out the door this morning, and he told me, he said, and it's the same line. He said, I have been dwelling on that and thinking on that. And my question is, am I ready when it comes time to move? He said, I know I'm saved, but am I ready? Am I ready? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Are you prepared to stand before Him? We're all born into this world to face death one day if the Lord tarries His coming. But are you ready? He said, it's really been making me examine myself. Sometimes we think we haven't got anywhere, and God's got something. He's got just what you need. I got something Wednesday night that I needed. And maybe nobody else got what I got, but I needed what I got. Amen. And it encouraged me and it helped me and it strengthened me. Amen. I'm glad that God uses people and it don't have to be preachers. Amen. To touch lives and to touch hearts. Be prepared to be used of the Lord whenever He wants to use you. I want to preach to you tonight. This morning, I preached a message. I preached, actually, it was meant to be a devotional, but you know me. They give me 2 minutes now. I have to stick to 2 minutes, amen? But I was in their church. This morning, I was in my church, amen? And there was no time limit on the service, and I preached that devotional. I preached that message as God had laid it on my heart and as God gave it to me this morning to preach it. And I hope it helps somebody because it was meant for somebody and it was meant for a time like this. But the thought of the message was learning to trust God through trials. Amen. Our trials bring us closer to Him. Our difficulties in life when we have to depend on Him help us to realize His goodness to us. And I preached that thought this morning about I didn't come out right. You know, we got to get broke before we can get fixed. Amen. Kira, this week, because of the message that was preached last Sunday, got under conviction, and she got broke, and praise God, Charles hauled her up to Joanne's house, and Sister Joanne took the Word of God and showed her how to get fixed, amen, and she got saved, amen, and we didn't have time to rejoice in it this morning because of what went on, but there was two young men that came, Marquand. They were his friends, and he brought them, and they were in the Sunday school class downstairs this morning, and two young men wanted to get saved, and Brother Jimmy led them to the Lord this morning, and two got saved. And you know what? The first thing they did was come up here. We got something to tell you. I said, what? They said, we asked Jesus in our heart, we got saved. Amen. Amen. God is working. In spite of us, He's still fixing what's broken. Amen. And in Isaiah chapter 55, in verse number 6, how about we just stand tonight and reverence the reading of God's Word? We don't always, we try to do it most of the time. Sometimes we don't, but I think tonight we need to. The Bible says, "I seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us tonight to the throne of grace? You may be seated. We preached to you tonight or this morning on learning to trust the Lord through trials. And I want to preach on you tonight how the Lord on his terms. You know, we live in a time, and throughout the ages, everybody has always tried to dictate and tried to determine how God would do things and should do things and could do things. But God always does things his way. Amen. Amen. He don't need us, and he don't need our direction and our guidance to figure out what needs to be done. But we always want to deal with God on our terms instead of dealing with the Lord on his terms. This passage of Scripture that we've read tonight shows us four things about God that we need to accept, and that we need to accept on his terms, and that we need to deal with him in our relationship with him on his terms, not ours. Amen. And I hope tonight this is a help to you, and this will bless you. Number one is in his person. We need to accept him on his terms. Listen at what he says in verses 6 and 7. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Many folks today think that God, I've said this before, and some of you are at a loss when I say it, but he's like the trunk monkey that they make the commercials about and that they joke about, that you see on the internet. And it's supposed to be this monkey that you get that comes with your car, and there's different trunk monkeys that you get, and they throw him in the trunk, and when something happens, whatever you bought the trunk monkey for, you push the button, he jumps out and he comes and he deals with whatever the problem is, and he goes back and gets in the trunk when you're done with him, and you shut the trunk and you go on. And sadly, that's the way we treat Jesus so many times. Amen. We want to treat our Lord and Savior like he's nothing more than the trunk monkey that bids or that does our bidding when we want him to do our bidding. But the Bible tells us here in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, that it's not the way that he works. It said, "Call on the Lord while he's near. Amen. Seek him while he may be found." We got to take Jesus on his terms. Amen? We got to accept Him when He's dealing with us, and when He's moving in our hearts, and when He's moving in our lives, and when He's ready to do something for us, and He's near, and He's speaking to us, and He's dealing with us. That is the time that we need to get close to His person. Amen. The devil tells you, when you're under conviction, oh no, just wait till another time. When we're dealing with people and they realize that they're lost and undone, they realize that they're broke, they didn't come out right the first time, they realize that they need salvation, because religion does not equate to salvation. Relationships with your mama and your papa, your grandma, who may have been good Christians, doesn't get you saved. But it's a personal relationship with a person by the name of Jesus that saves souls. Amen. And He saves souls when He's dealing with souls. He says, you could not come to me unless my Father drew you. Yes. Amen. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Take the Lord on His terms. We have so many today that think that everything revolves around them. The whole universe revolves around them. We got a bunch of spoiled brats. Young people, don't take this the wrong way. Not all of you are. Some of you have been raised by good Christian families that have taught you good Christian values. And you know the difference between right and wrong. But as a society in a whole, we've got a generation of spoiled brats that are coming up. And thinks the whole world revolves around them. Mom and Dad have never been Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad have always wanted to be the best friend. Mom and Dad have never wanted to be the heavy. Mom and Dad have never wanted to do their job. Mom and Dad have always told their precious little one how precious they are, and all they know is that everyone ought to look at them and think they're special, and the whole world ought to revolve around them, screaming and hollering. I won't say who. Over, I can tell you the school at Charlestown Elementary. A certain individual went into the school. There's a certain child that's in that school she's got to be the spawn of Satan. Hey, man. I mean, she is absolutely horrible. They had her in the cafeteria all to herself, and everybody else was elsewhere in the school, so this little one could have the cafeteria to herself and could scream and holler and just throw a temper tantrum because she wasn't getting her way, because she'd been taught that the whole world been revolved around her. According to the Word of God, what the little one needed was to be drop-kicked through the goalpost of life. Amen. 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 But we got a whole generation. You're not allowed to spank me. You're not allowed to touch me. You're not allowed to tell me to shut up. I told one of my grandkids to shut up. They said, you ain't allowed to say that. You can't say that word, Pop. You're not allowed to say that. I said, what do you mean I can't say that? Oh, we're not allowed to say shut up. I said, well, let me tell you something. Shut up! Amen. 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 You go ahead, girl. You tell them. Amen. But we've got this whole generation thinking the whole world revolves around them. We got Christians that are the same way. We're a bunch of spoiled brats. We think the whole universe revolves around us, and God revolves around us, and God just shows up when we want Him to, and God's going to meet our needs, and we're going to push the button, and He's going to jump out of the trunk, and He's going to come and say, what do you need now? Do you need some money? What do you need now? Do you need healing? What do you need now? I'm here, and I just want to do whatever you want to do, and you get what He's got, and you tell Him to get back in the trunk, and you're going about your business, and have no time for Him. How about we try taking God on His terms, and when He's near, I just get close to Him. He said, draw nigh to God and He'd draw nigh to you. Let's try that novel idea. Let's try the novel idea of telling the sinners they're on their way to hell. Amen. Lost without Jesus, there is no hope. It don't matter what somebody tells you. It don't matter what somebody gives you. If you don't have Jesus, you're on your way to hell. Thus saith the word of God. Amen. And it doesn't matter what man has to say. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And listen to what he says, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Church, how about the church gets cleaned up? We're worried about the world getting cleaned up. How about the church get itself cleaned up and draw close to God? How about let's deal with God on his terms? Amen. Over in Isaiah 29, he says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? We want to question God, and we want to question his authority. We want to question his being. We want to question his ways. We want to question his desires for our lives. How about we try just taking him on his terms and take him for who he is? Turn back into chapter number 6 and you'll see Uzziah seen him high and lifted up. Amen. Or Isaiah, in the year that Uzziah died. Amen. I tell you what, if we would see him for who he really is and take him for who he really is, we wouldn't dilly-dally around about cleaning ourselves up. That's what Eddie was talking about this morning. You know, making sure that we've talked about this. I think we talked about this the other night in the men's meeting. Somewhere we was talking about it. But you know, sometimes you know you got company coming. You know, if my wife knows company's coming, she'll scurry around the house real quick and make sure everything's clean and neat. But let Rick and Joanne just show up out of nowhere. Amen. And they got to come in and they're just going to have to come on in with the dirt that's there. Amen. It's there. Amen. They come in anyway, and you hope, well, I hope they don't look over there. And I hope they don't look over there. I hope they don't look in there and see nothing. We never have that problem at Kathy's house. You never have that problem there. No. What are you talking? Amen. You'll never catch her off guard. Amen. I don't even know. Y'all don't even have dirty dishes, do you? Sure. I mean, Tom gets done that last bite of food and that dish is, man, it's gone. Amen. But the rest of us are hoping they don't look around. They don't see this and they don't say, I'm just picking on Sister Kathy. But it's true. But amen. But God shows up. And we need, when he's there, to accept him. Man, we could shut the door and lock the door and try to hide. I had a friend of mine one time, had some folks come, and he was dirty, been working, and he never liked anyone to see him in his undershirt. And he was working, and man, he's all dirty and nasty, and somebody come, and he says, tell him I'm not here, and he run and hid in the bathroom. And they knew he'd been working on the bathrooms, why they stopped by to see what he'd been doing to the bathroom. I said, well, we just want to see how he's making out with the bathroom. And walked in there, and he hid in the tub. He heard him coming, and he hid in the tub, and he pulled the shower curtain, right? He was hiding. This is true. This really happened. Man. And his kids didn't know what to say. They done told the people he wasn't there. They went in the bathroom, and they're looking around. And a woman rolls the shower curtain back. And he's standing there. Honest to God, true story. Amen. It didn't happen too far from here. Amen. But he just didn't want somebody to see him like he was. And he tried to pretend like he wasn't there. And there in that passage of scripture I read in Isaiah 25, they said, who's going to see all this? Who's going to know? You know, we're going to hide this. You never hide from God. So there's no need to try to run from God. You're never going to fool God. So there's no need to try to pull the wool over his eyes. Just take God on his terms and meet him. I tell you what, there's nothing like when he's dealing with your heart and when he's got you under conviction to come to him and say, Lord, here I am, save my soul. Or say, Lord, here I am, forgive me of my sins. Or say, Lord, here I am, what is it that you've been dealing with me about? What is it that you want me to do? Do you want me to go teach and work with those kids? Lord, if that's what it is, I'm going to go because I can't hide from you. I can't get away from you. Lord, I want to be close to you. So what is it right now? Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, he's able to be found when he's dealing with you. You can put him off and put him off. In one day, call on him and never hear him. Desire him to deal with your heart and bring you under conviction one more time and never feel him. It can happen. I'm trying to think of who it was. I can't remember whether it was Tozer. I shared with you last week. Tory, R.A. Tory. One of his first pastorates went to visit a man that was dying of cancer, and the man told him, after he had rejected Christ so many times, told him, they tell me I'm going to die. And now I wished I could get saved, but I can't. And his dying words as he slipped from this world was, I wished I were a Christian. I wished I were a Christian. I wished I were a Christian as he slipped off into eternity. Why? Because when the Lord could be found, he wanted him to get in the trunk. When the Lord could be found, he didn't want to be bothered. When the Lord could be found, he didn't want to have no parts of him. Let me move on. Let me move on. Look at verses 8 and 9. We accept the Lord on his terms to know his person. We accept the Lord on his terms to know his plans. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Carnal man has come to the place to where they think that they can move God and motivate him in the way that they think that he should go. They want to dictate, direct, and determine how God should function, or how he should operate or carry out that he wants to do. They think that they know more than what God knows and can do make him do what is necessary and what's needful. But he says, my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. He knows better than what we do. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? God has a perfect plan for every life. Amen. He had a perfect plan for Adam and Eve when he placed them in the garden. He had a plan of fellowship. He had a plan of a relationship. He had a plan of place where he would come and he would dwell with them and be with them and walk amongst them in this life and in this world below, a perfect world with a perfect man and a perfect woman. That was God's plan, but sin ruined that plan. Sin hindered that plan, and sin drove man and woman from that perfect place that God had prepared, and God had another plan. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And God seen man and knew man's weakness, and he knew man's faults, he knew man's failures, and knew that man would fall and succumb unto sin. And he had a plan that was formed and founded and started before the foundation of the world. But in the book of Genesis, I began to weave through the very pages of God's word all the way to Revelations. It's a plan of restoration. Amen. God's plan for every life is restoration. God's plan for every relationship is restoration. Amen. I tell you what, people get mad, we get upset, we write people off. You got the wrong attitude. Amen. It's God's desire for restoration. Amen. Husbands and wives get upset and they get mad at one another, and they don't even try for restoration anymore. They just immediately go to the lawyer, and the lawyers get rich. We have parents and children who go through struggles in this life, and they don't even try for restoration of their relationships any longer. We got churches that are split because people won't try for restoration. And we got people going to hell because Christians who won't try to restore their personal lives in their marriages, in their families, and in their church. And they wonder why nobody wants to hear about Jesus and his plan for restoration of a lost and a dying world. Through the redemption of Christ's blood. Man, he's got a plan that's out of this world and everything that it does. Amen? It's out of this world. His plan of salvation doesn't require me to go blow anybody up, kill anybody, do anything. It doesn't require me to walk 1,500 miles and every step I take to bow prostrate and get up and take another step, bow prostrate and get up. Yeah, people do that to go see the Dalai Lama. Travel, I think one guy was 1,500 miles and every step he took, he'd take a step, he'd bow down completely prostrate on the ground, get up, take another step, bow down completely prostrate on the ground to go see a man. Amen. I know a man named Jesus. That says if we just come and meet him at the foot of an old rugged cross, amen, we can find restoration. We can find redemption. We can find what this world can't offer us. Why is that? Because God's got a better plan. God knew man's failures. God knows man's weaknesses. God knows where man is going to let down. But praise God, he made a way that was available to every man. And it don't matter what color your skin is. Amen. It don't matter what continent you was born on. It don't matter what language you speak. It don't matter how much money you got in the bank or how much you don't have in the bank. It don't matter what you can do or what you can't do. He said, if any man shall call upon the name. I'm getting out of breath. He said, for whosoever. Let me just put it this way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Yes. Whosoever. It don't matter. It don't matter. He saves you. He's got a redemption plan for every man. He's got a perfect plan. And God doesn't have to answer us. And God doesn't have to save. And God doesn't take us to heaven by what we think, feel, or know. He takes us to heaven by the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus, the religious man. Amen. Here's what religion will do for you. Nicodemus was religious. Nicodemus was a very good man. He's a very good religious man. He was a respected religious man from what I can gather from what I read in the Bible. Amen. But Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, ye must be born again. John 3:3. Nicodemus said, how can this be? I'm an old man. In John 3:7, Jesus said again, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. Why is that? Because God's plan. Listen to me. God's plan. Amen. Does things the way that God intends for them to be done. And not the way man has mangled and twisted. You know, the problem with Nicodemus's religion was that man had got into it and twisted it all around, and Jesus had to condemn them for the things that they were teaching that were contrary to the Word of God in the name of God. Amen. They didn't match God's plan. Why is God's plan so important? Because He has a purpose. Amen. And we need to get our terms and our lives based on the Lord's terms for His purpose in everything. In verses number 10 and 11, it says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whatsoever I send it. Praise God. I want you to know something. God's purposes in life are accomplished whether you want to accept Him or not. Amen. Amen. God's purpose of salvation is in place. His perfect plan of salvation, His purpose in implementing His plan, was that every man, woman, boy, and girl might be saved. It's not His will that any should perish. Amen. But He gives us the freedom to make a decision. His desire to fulfill His purpose is that we would all be saved. And I would that every man would be saved. Every individual would be saved. But some reject and some refuse. And His purpose is fulfilled in their lives as well. Read something last night. Somebody posted on the internet, on Facebook, the most fearful words in the universe. Depart from me. I never knew you. Man, did you ever really think about that? The scariest words that you could ever hear are, depart from me. I never knew you. God's desire, God's plan, God's hope is for salvation, for restoration to everyone. But if His purpose isn't fulfilled that way, it'll be fulfilled with what He told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The day that you sin, you shall surely die. The day, what sin? It was when they ate of the fruit of the tree that they wasn't supposed to. When they went against God's word. He said, begin to die. You would die. They died spiritually. His plan and his purpose was to bring eternal salvation through his Son. But those who reject his Son will hear those words, "I never knew you. I never knew you." There is no place called purgatory. There is no place called, Utopia is a perfect place. There's another place. There's different places that different religions have invented that you go to. But these places do not exist. The Bible says there were two men. One was a rich man, doesn't give his name, and the other one was a beggar named Lazarus. And they both died. And Lazarus was taken into Abraham's bosom. But in hell, the rich man lifted his eyes. There is no in-between. Let me tell you about the in-betweens. And I was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Why we have so many differences in religion is most people got a plan who's got the best way to sin and get away with it.
Right.
That's what it gets down to. Well, purgatory allows me to live like hell all my life and die and go to this place where my family can purchase me out if they give the church enough money. Or I can die and go to this holding place. And if enough good works or enough good alms or enough good deeds are done on my behalf, I will get a chance to start over and do it all again and prove that I'm worthy. But the Bible never teaches us and never talks of any such place. The Bible tells us of a place called heaven where the redeemed of God will go, and a place called hell where those who reject Jesus Christ will go. But God's purpose to abolish sin, God's purpose to eradicate sin, will be fulfilled and be accomplished through the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us and washes us and makes us clean. Or through destruction in a place called hell. God's purpose will be fulfilled. God's word does not return unto him void. And every time you hear a message on the plan of salvation, you'll be held accountable. Every time you hear a message on sin in the Christian life, you'll be held accountable. Every time you hear a message on surrendering to God's will for your life, you'll be held accountable. Amen. Because his purpose will be fulfilled in everything. And his goal is ultimately to bless. Verses 12 and 13 says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be unto the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." God's plan for our lives. God's purpose for our life, God's promise to our life is that if we will accept him on his terms, he will bless us. He's talking to a people here that are in captivity or going into captivity, and he reminds them that he wants to bless them, that he wants to prosper them, that he wants to pour out his goodness upon him. In Jeremiah 29, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." God's plan, his purpose, and his desire for our lives is a blessing and not cursing. I know the thoughts that I have. I know what my desire is for you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. Thoughts to bring you to a certain... He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to live according to his word so that you can call upon him. He said, "And you'll seek me and you'll find me." He said, "I'll be found." Why? Because we have a right relationship. Because we accepted his person on his terms. Why? Because we accepted his plan on his terms. Why? Because we accepted his purpose on his terms. And now we can prosper. And I don't mean we're going to get rich. I mean we can prosper spiritually. We can prosper as a church. We can prosper as individuals. Amen. If we'll take him on his terms. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.